have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
God be the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Welcome to For His Glory. Praise God. I'm your host, one of your hosts, Apostle Brian Blackingame. I'm here along with my marvelous producer, Kimmy, Dr. Kimmy Kim, at Elation Radio, for his glory. We thank God again for another day, another hour, that we can come forth and bring forth the word of the Lord. We thank God once more and again for being able to have you come on and listen with us as we bring forth a break the bread of life for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we take it not lightly that God has allowed us to do so and come forth with it. And we just praise God for what he's done, for what he's doing, and for what he's about to do. To God be the glory. Tonight, I was praying about some things and pondering upon some things and trying to figure out just what exactly I might pray for tonight. But, you know, there's God does some things that is just mind-blowing, baffling at times. And sometimes we allow you to experience some things that will allow you to dig into some certain scriptures and really give you some hindsight as to different things that goes on in the spirit realm, that goes on in the world, that goes on in the church, and that goes on with you personally. So tonight, I had done this message, and when I did it, God gave me the subject, and that there's no dysfunction. There's no dysfunctions in Christ. There's no dysfunctions in Christ. However, there may be some dysfunctions in the body of Christ. And basically what the breakdown is and was is that the problem is that we don't always adhere to the things of God and what God has set forth for us to govern ourselves and to operate, yes, I said operate, in the things of God, if you will, as we should. So what came to mind was that I kept hearing some of the different times that, of different people referring to different things that, you know, they don't see this happening in the church anymore. They don't see that happening in the church no more, and they don't see this. And because they didn't see certain things, they were warning or they were saying, you know, this, you know, the power is gone and all kinds of different things. But the thing about it is that the power is not gone. The blood of Jesus is still available. The blood of Jesus still works. Thing is that some of us, because we have gotten out of place, because we have not, we're no longer aligned with the things of God, and sometimes we have done away with certain things in the things of God. So therefore, we're not seeing some of the effects that we're looking for, we'd like to see concerning the different things of God. So tonight, if you have your Bible with you, if you'd like to follow along with me, I'm going to start off in Acts, the 10th chapter. Starting at the 38th verse, Acts 10, 38. Oh. To God be the glory. Before we get started, I'm going to say a word of prayer, have a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you again for this opportunity. We thank you, Lord God, for who you are. We thank you, Lord God, for being in the midst. Your word said, when two or three was gathered in your name, that you would be in the midst. And we thank you, Lord God, that you fail not concerning your word. We pray, Lord God, that the word goes forth on good ground. We pray, Father God, in Jesus' name, that it finds a place to remain. And we thank you, Lord God, that it will bring forth fruit, that you'll be glorified in the earth. We thank you for our producer, Kimmy Kim, who's with us tonight. We thank you, Lord God, for watching over her, blessing her family, Lord God, blessing everything that she places her hand to do, that you be glorified in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Acts 10:38, it talks about how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that was oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, I want to look at this a little bit closer and notice how it said how God anointed Jesus, how God anointed Jesus. It didn't talk about how his mom anointed him. It didn't talk about how his daddy anointed him. It didn't say nothing about his uncle or his great-great-granddaddy or nobody. It talked about how God himself anointed Jesus, how God anointed Jesus. Now, I want you to take Jesus out of there and put your name in there, because it's not only how God anointed Jesus, but how did God, it's about how God anointed you too. That's right. It's about how he anointed you as well. Now notice it said how he anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Nazareth was a place that wasn't supposed to be of all that. That's why they said when they found out that the Messiah was from Nazareth, that's why they responded, is there any good thing? Is there any good thing from Nazareth? Is there any good thing from Nazareth? I'm here tonight to tell you that it matters not where you come from. It don't matter what background you come from. It don't matter if you was born with a silver spoon, a gold spoon, or a wooden spoon. If God anoints you, it's all about how God anointed you. And it talks about how God anointed you. It talks about how God anointed you to do good. It talks about how God anointed Jesus to do good. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. So the power is still there. He anointed him to do good and was healing all that was oppressed of the devil. He was healing all. It didn't say some of them. It didn't say a few of them. It didn't say a third of them. It didn't say half of them. It said he went about doing good, healing all that was oppressed of the devil. Now, when we say all, if we look at all, and we are a believer, and we say he went about doing good, and he went about healing all, then shouldn't we be included in that all? And I'll go a little bit farther into that. But we should include ourselves in that all, because he healed all that was oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, I want to go right back to this a little bit, because we start talking about how God anointed Jesus. Now, I'm changing this a little bit from dysfunctions of the church, because now I want to talk to some of us who we realize or we see the trick of the enemy, and I want to tell you, be encouraged. This is the thing right here. Be encouraged. Stay encouraged. Where God has called you, or where God has placed you in the ministry, even when the enemy is trying to discredit who you are, office God has placed you in. Oh yeah, I'm talking right. I know I'm talking right, because it's a trick of the devil to try to discredit you, to try to make you feel like God didn't call you, and to try to make you feel like God didn't place you in the office that he placed you in. Some people know, and some people know who you are. I'm gonna tell you, it don't take the sharpest knife in the box to be able to see, or in the drawer to be able to see the anointing that's on your life. But you have some, for some reason, maybe it's jealousy, maybe it's insecurity. There's some who will want to challenge or try to discredit you and try to tell you you're not who you are when you know very well who you are in God. Oh, my God. Jesus Christ was anointed by God. By God. I'm saying that again. By God. Now, the reason why I'm saying it is because if God or if you or if we was anointed by God, why the devil we going to let somebody try to tell us different from how we know God has anointed us? They didn't anoint you, so God anointed you. So why are you going to allow someone to try to get in your head and try to make you feel like you're less than who you are in God? This God, it's a setup. It's a trick. It's a setup, and it's a trick. Now, the reason why I wanted to say this, and this is why we went to the next place, is because we know he went about doing good, and we know that Jesus went about healing all those who was oppressed of the devil. That's what the word says. And he did that because he was anointed of God. Notice he said he went about doing good, and he didn't do it for show. He didn't do it for publicity. He did it to glorify the Father. Let's go to Hebrews 13 and 8. 13 and 8. Now, the reason why I wanted you to look in that last verse where it says he went about healing all. The reason why I wanted you to really grasp hold to that all is so that you could see the benefit of being saved and to stir up the faith that's within you so that you can understand that same healing that he did for them is for you too. Because when we look at Hebrews 13 and 8, it says Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. So, Jesus Christ yesterday, today, and forever. If he went about healing all those who were oppressed of the devil yesterday, he's still doing it today. If he went about doing good and healing all who was oppressed by the devil yesterday, he's still doing it today. All means you, means me, means all of us. He still is the healer. He still is the deliverer. He still does these things, and he still does it by the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, my God. Still does it by the power of the Holy Ghost. Here we go. He still does it by the power of the Holy Ghost. He did it yesterday. He do it today, and he does it forever. So the thing about it is that there's no, like I said, there's no dysfunction in Christ. There's no dysfunction in Christ. The thing about it is that some of us don't believe that what he did yesterday, he's still doing it today. Some of us, if we feel like he did it yesterday, then, and we still feel like he's doing it today, We have a thing wondering, well, God, will you do it for me? I've been there. I literally came out and asked God, God, I know you did it for such and such and stuff, but will you do it for me? And I find out there's nothing wrong with that because he is no respecter of person. If he did it for one, he'll do it for another. And there's nothing wrong with you asking God, God, I see you did it for him. Will you do it for me too? In fact, you can even say, God, I believe, but help God my unbelief because this thing is so great that there's some errors in me that I'm not so sure, but I believe you can, but I'm not so sure. So help my that part of me that's still got a little bit of doubt. Help that part of me, God, so that I may be healed, so that I might be delivered. so that I might be set free. Now, let's go to, I'm gonna say Revelations 22. Yeah, I'm gonna say Revelations 22 and 19. Yeah. Revelations 22 and 19. Ooh, I tell you what, Dr. Kimmy Kim, I don't know if it's good to you, but it's pretty good to me right now. Revelations 22 and 19. If any man to take away from the words of this book, meaning the Bible, of this prophecy, God should take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. You know, it is odd. It is crazy. It's, you know, I'm beginning to see stuff, even more so, how people don't mind taking away things out of the book. There's certain things that certain people desire or they try not to acknowledge. Uh-huh. And sometimes the very thing that they don't want to try to, that they don't want to acknowledge is the call or the office that God has put you in. Some people have even gone so bold as to say it's not so much of an office but a title. See, and I get that. I understand. There's some people who are getting in the ministry and they're getting there in prematurely. Yeah, prematurely. Calling themselves this and they're calling themselves that, but that's not so with everybody. That, hallelujah. That's not so with everybody. I'm going to say that again. That's not so with everybody. That's not so with everybody. Let me go right here real quick. Let me go right here. He did many works. Okay, let me go right here. Let's go back to Matthew 13:58. Let's go back. Matthew 13:57. He said this, Jesus, read words. He said, and they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many works there because of their unbelief. Let me help you with this. Listen, the thing is that there were people in his own country, in his own kin, that knew they had heard that he is or was the Messiah, okay? They had read about the Messiah before the Messiah got there. They were looking for the Messiah to come, and they were expecting certain things from the Messiah when he got there. That's why he lost, or John the Baptist lost, a whole bunch of them when he was baptizing them, and when Jesus showed up on the scene, John looked at him and said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Now, when they looked on Jesus, he lost a bunch of them because they was thinking the Messiah, by him being the King of Kings, they thought he was going to be coming in bling, bling, drip, drip, and the knight in shining armor and the parade and all this stuff going on. So because of his first appearance, a lot of them were scattered. Oh, my God. So Jesus said this. He said, unto them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. And in his own house, in his own country. Jesus or God have anointed you, but there's some, because they grew up with you, they know your background, they've seen your background, and they knew you before you came into the place that God called you into. They don't want to acknowledge that. They don't want to see you as that. Jesus' case was they always wanted to refer to him as the carpenter's son. They didn't want to. They chose not to receive him as the Messiah. They chose not to see him as the Messiah of God's only begotten son. They chose not to receive him as Lord of Lords and King of Kings, even though very well they had an inkling of a clue. They knew somewhere in their heart he was who he said he was because of the miracles. But look, in the 58th verse, he said, he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. It's the enemy's job to make it look like you're not an apostle. It's the enemy's job to make it look like, in the mind of others, that you're not a prophet. It's the enemy's job to make it look like, in the eyes of others, that you're not a pastor, that you're not a preacher or a teacher. It's the enemy's job to try to cause others to see you in a different light so that they can't receive, not so much you, but they can't receive that word or that anointing that God has allowed you to speak into their life. They can't receive it. They can't see it because they don't see you as who God said you were. So therefore, because of their unbelief, they're not getting what they're supposed to be. Hallelujah. They're not getting what they're supposed to be getting. Now, let's go to Ephesians 4, because now we're going somewhere. Ephesians 4, because I kind of tapped in on it. Ephesians 4, 11. Ephesians 4, 11. Look at this. It says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, gave them, and his five offices, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Five offices, not titles. Five offices, not titles. Five offices, not titles. And they function for the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now remember, I took you to Revelation, and it said, anyone who take away from this book, even in no matter what part, from Genesis to Revelation, anyone take away from this book, you could be erased from the book of life. Anybody that takes away from this book, you can be taken away or taken out of the world. I just read you the scripture in Revelation 22:19. However, I find it fascinating that some people will acknowledge pastors, they'll acknowledge teachers, but they won't acknowledge prophets, and they won't acknowledge apostles. I've even seen prophets who don't want to acknowledge an apostle. And what, oh God, Dr. Kim, what gets me so much, Dr. Kim, is that I have been able to go to different churches, different houses, and I've been able to sit in front of different prophets, apostles, and pastors, and they've been able to look at me and see through the Spirit of God that God called me to be an apostle. I've never seen them before. They've never seen me before, and they prophesied this stuff to me, especially when I was running from the office of an apostle. They would prophesy this stuff to me, and I've never seen them before. I knew what God had said, but they would say that. I've also had him to do this in order to validate me in front of others to let them know that's who I was in God. And I've even had a situation to where he came and validated me in front of someone who tried to deny me being an apostle, and they came in and prophesied to me in their faith who I was in God. But they still want to say no, and no, they want to, no, everything, they want to do everything except come all the way out and say, well, he didn't call you to be no apostle. And my thing is, it's a very dangerous place to be in, because the scripture says you know them who labor among you. And I'm willing to, I'm not that much of a gambling man. I'm really not a gambling man. But if I was a gambling man, I'd be willing to bet that anyone who doubts or come out, let it come out of their mouth, they doubt who you are in God. I'm more willing to bet you my last dime that they didn't hear that from God. God ain't told them that. Not if you're a real apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher. God did not tell them that. And now I go a step farther. I guarantee you they didn't even take time out to go to God and ask, were they in the presence of a real prophet, apostle, a pastor, or a teacher? Because a lot of times when people don't go to God and seek God and ask God for something like that, it's because they're afraid of the answer. Oh, God, I know I'm right. I know I'm right. So my thing is, why do you want to take away? Because, see, when you start taking away stuff like that, other people have now set up in their heart, set up in their mind that you're not who God called you for or called you to be. So in cases like that, what did Jesus have to do? He had to go out from among them and be in a place where people could perceive him to be who he said he was. Once he got in a place where people could perceive and receive him to be the Messiah, the healing was happening. The healing was taking place. The transformation of different things was taking place because people saw him for who he was. In other words, if you can't honor God, oh, man, if you have to honor what God has honored in order for it to be effective in your life. If you can't honor what God has honored, it's not going to be effective to you. It's not going to help you. A hill of beans. Now, a lot of people saying, well, I don't see this in the church. I don't have that in the church. Well, like I said, this is a brick right here. You in the church, you say you have a church, you say you're a pastor of a church, but you say you don't want no apostle in your church. Even though the apostle is in your church, you don't want to call him the apostle that God called him to be. So I have to ask this question, because it said he gave to the church. If you got somebody in there, you don't want them to be seen as an apostle or a prophet, and they're in your church, I have to wonder, is it your church or is it God's church? Because according to the scripture, in God's church, if there's an apostle in the church, he belongs in the church and not covered up, not hidden, so that he can't be seen and function who in the way that he's supposed to be functioning. I know I'm right. So the thing is, what is it about that anointing? What is it about that office that intimidates you? If you want to have that apostle in there and don't want to acknowledge him for who he is, now your house is dysfunctional. It ain't. Yeah, you may be getting this, you may be getting that, but you're not getting the full effect because you done took away from the word. It said don't add to, nor take away from. Some people want to take away the apostle and add something else in this instead of saying what it really is. All right. So we're saying we're looking for people to be healed instantly. This is another thing. We're looking for things to be healed instantly. And some of the things is not so much, like I said, a dysfunction. In Christ, some of it is we're asking, we could be asking for the wrong thing. We're saying, God, I need you to heal this knee. I need you to heal this knee. And God is saying, okay, by my stripes, you are healed. But actually what we're looking for something instantly. You know, we're hurting. We want it to be fixed right now. You know, we got an arm or something that's, you know, crooked, and we're looking for things to jump right in a place, you know, right away, bam. So the thing about it is that if we're asking for a healing, it's going to take a while, because healing is a progress. It takes a time. It takes progress for healing. What we need to be asking for is a miracle. If we want to see miracles, we need to be asking for miracles instead of just healing, because healing is going to take a while. Miracles, that's what we read about in the Bible. When we see healings that took place where they was lame and then all of a sudden, that was a miracle. He said many great works, many miracles. He performed them right then. Healing takes time. It's a process. And sometimes we're asking one thing and God giving it to us and we still complaining because it's taking a while. It's taking a while because it's a healing. It's a process. I don't want to really refer to it like this, but this right here just helps. If we have a dog that has four legs, when he runs and he's running fast. But if we do something or break a leg or sprain a leg and he only have three legs, he's still gonna get from point A to point B, but it's gonna take a while because there's a dysfunction there. There's a dysfunction there. And that's what's going on in some of our churches. There's certain things that goes on that we don't want to acknowledge, certain things that we don't want to put in its proper place, certain things that, and because of it, we have some deficiencies, dysfunctions, because we want to do it our way and not God's way. We want to do it our way and not God's way. You know, I was explaining to someone that, you know, when you're going to different offices, this is why you've heard the saying, different level, new devil, or different level, different devil. When you go into different levels or different offices, there are different warfare. And I was explaining this to someone, and they cut me off, and they was like, no, it's just warfare, come with ministry, warfare, come with ministry. And I couldn't get them because they're not a listener. They're more of a talker than a listener. And I'm trying to prove to them, or I'm trying to say to them, because now they're taking in the guys all out of proportion, trying to say, well, the warfare is not what makes you this, or it's not what makes you that, as far as in ministry. They're trying to say that the warfare don't make you an apostle. Warfare don't make you a pastor. Warfare don't, and they're trying to say that don't make you this or that. But what I would like to have gotten across to them is like what I was saying, different level, different devil. Each time you go into another level, the anointing that comes in your life has to be tested. It doesn't make you that. You're already that when God says you are what you say you are. But because you have moved from one level to the next level, the warfare intensifies. I hope I get a chance to tell them this. The warfare intensified. When God first placed me into the office, when he first brought me into the office, into ministry, he brought me into the ministry of a prophet. Okay? I didn't prophesy that much. In fact, I didn't prophesy at all in the beginning. But the different sermons that he gave me, the preach was prophetic. Some of the prayers that he would have me pray, they were prophetic. And then near the end of him taking me from prophet into apostle, then I began to prophesy even that much the more. But the warfare as a prophet, what I faced then was more like manipulation, where people lied upon you, where people plotted against you, where people tried to kill your character, where people tried to drag your name in the mud, where people tried to, invite someone to come and speak at a certain function, and then tell the people that was over the function that I invited them when I didn't invite them. Throwing discord. That type of thing. And then a lot of times, even though they did it, the thing would still blow up and be a success because God knew what they was doing and he flipped it on. But that I mainly faced going from prophet. Now, when God brought me into the office of an apostle, the warfare intensified because it went from first cousin manipulation to flat out, down outright witchcraft, where people would actually send hexes, curses, snakes, all kind of stuff. And Timmy Kim, I hope I'm not getting too deep. But I'm talking about spiritual snakes and different things like that. And see, I know some people are like, he's crazy. He lost his mind. Look, I used to laugh about that kind of stuff, too, until he talked. The people start sending it, and it's real. But even though it's real, we got a God that's real earth. He had to allow me to experience that stuff because, like I said, I didn't believe that stuff worked. I didn't believe that, that it was real. But now he allowed me to experience that so that when I see that, I can get in touch with God. I can pray a prayer. It can be broke. It can be dissolved. It can be counseled out. So you have to have somebody in the body of Christ that can be able to identify and relate to people who are suffering that type of stuff. But the warfare doesn't make you who God calls you to be. You are who God calls you to be when you went there, but like I said, every anointing, whether it's teacher, whether it's pastor, whether it's evangelist, whether it's prophet, whether it's apostle, every level is going to be tested. Every one of those levels are going to be tested. So what I'm saying to y'all tonight, every one of us tonight, someone, anyone, what devil? And sometimes he used loved ones. He said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own home, in his own country, and amongst his own kin. Whatever, whoever the devil uses to try to discredit you, I'm just saying tonight, stay encouraged. Be encouraged. You are who God called you to be. You are who God called you to be. Excuse me. And God, he will validate who you are. He will validate who you are. It may take you getting up and leaving from one place to go to wherever God is leading you, but eventually, in one place or another, God will validate who you are in him. God is not mocked. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. He is not mocked. He will validate those whom he calls. He will justify those whom he calls. And those whom he calls, not only will he justify, he will qualify. Amen. I hope and I pray that this word helps somebody, that it go forth, that it be fruitful. I pray that it keeps somebody encouraged, and I pray that it strengthens someone in the uttermost part being of the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name. Now, if you're under the sound of my voice and you have not received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, please give me the opportunity to introduce you to the Savior, the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Jesus Christ. If you believe that he died on the cross for your sins, and if you believe on the third day God raised him from the dead, you can be saved. And if you'd like to do so right now, just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I come to you as a sinner. I ask that you save me, that you wash me in the blood of the Lamb. I believe that Jesus is your only begotten Son. I believe that on the third day you raised him from the grave with all power in his hand. I believe this with my heart. I confess it with my mouth. And in Jesus' name, thank you, Jesus, for saving me, for making me a new creature in Christ Jesus. And I thank you for making me whole. I renounce Satan. He has no place in my life. I now belong to Jesus. I now belong to the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, thank God. The angels right now is partying in heaven for you. They said the angels, they worship God. They praise God every time someone gets saved. So we thank God for you. We thank God for you. And the angels thank God for you. And if you need prayer, you can contact me on Facebook, Brian Blasingame, Instagram, Brian Blasingame, and Snapchat, Brian Blasingame. Be blessed. We love you. Timmy Kim, God, thank you. We love you. We bless the Lord for you. And until then, take us out for his glory. Amen.
Jesus, hurry your heart. It's a place called you.